Now, do you have a hard time forgiving people? We have an honest soul here today. We have an honest soul. It's hard to forgive people, especially if they've done something to you that's very hurtful or harmful or abusive or whatever that might be. I understand that. It can be very, very difficult when you think about the things that have happened to you. I'm amazed at stories of people that are able to forgive people that have done some horrific things. We have a friend, Alex. Alex attended Bible college. This building used to be a Bible college. So I know we have some new people here, but this used to be a Bible college. And Alex came here from Rwanda and attended school, and he graduated from here. And now he's moved to Virginia, I believe, and he's working for Samaritan's Purse. What's really neat about Alex is that when you see him, you just light up. He's just got this beautiful, bright smile. He's just a sweet guy. He's a short guy, but a sweet guy. There's nothing wrong with being short. That kind of sounded weird, didn't it? He's short, but he's nice. No, that didn't make, forget that. Just great. I'm trying to describe to you what he's like. But what's really powerful about him was that his family was killed in that genocide that took place in Rwanda. And he actually got to meet the person that killed his family, and he forgave him right to his face. And it's an amazing story of how he gave grace to someone else because he knew that Jesus had given grace to him. We've been looking at different aspects of grace these last few weeks. We're in a series called Amazing Grace, and it's just amazing to think about grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's something that's given to you, and you don't deserve it. We don't earn it, but God just simply gives it to us. Now, we have to receive that grace and say yes to that grace through faith. But he wants to pour out. That's God's number one. That's kind of, his go-to. He always wants to give grace to his people. He does have to carry out discipline sometimes in our life when we're going the wrong way, but his default is always to give grace to people. So we've looked at a variety of different things of transforming grace, liberating grace, clearing grace, sustaining grace, relational grace. Today, I want to talk about offering grace. That means we give grace to somebody else. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you have been saved." We have been saved by God's unmerited favor. Again, nothing that we've done to deserve that. In response to that, we need to live in gratitude to God. And that's our motivation for love of him. Not to check off a list that we've done everything perfectly, but because of his great love for us, we want to love him back and live a life of love. Now, the Bible says, and God says, that he didn't intend just for you to receive that grace. He also wants us to give that grace out to other people. Any kind of blessing that he gives to us, he wants us to share that with others. In Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8, it says, Jesus had just sent the 12 out to go do some ministry, and they're coming back. And these 12 Jesus sent out were sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you grow, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons." And then this is a phrase I want you to get: "Freely that you have received, I want you to give." I want you to freely give. Anything that I give to you, I want you to give that away to somebody else. Not only including these ministry gifts here, but anything that we receive. If we receive the blessing from God, we are to bless other people. If we receive forgiveness from God, we are to forgive other people. If we receive grace from God, we are to give grace to people. We are to, as freely as God has given to us, we are to give that away. So here's the point that I want to make today. The point is, I am to offer grace and to forgive others because God has offered grace and forgiven me. And we need to give that away to other people out of gratitude for what he's done. So how do we offer grace to somebody? It's awfully, awfully hard sometimes. But let me tell you two different kinds of forgiveness. There's false forgiveness and then there's real forgiveness, all right? So let's look at the false. False forgiveness is number one, it's not conditional. That means I will forgive you if you do this or if you apologize that or if you do these other things. We do that all the time. Kids do that. I will be your best friend if you let me play with that toy. Conditional, right? And adults do the same thing. I will be your best friend if you let me use your John Deere mower tractor so I can mow my lawn. Right? Condition. The cool thing about this is real forgiveness is not conditional. You simply give it in spite of what that other person. They might not know that you forgave them. They might not be repentant. but you give it anyway because it's not conditional. Secondly, it's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It doesn't say nothing happened to me, you know, I know that they hurt me really, really bad. It's no big deal. I'm over it. It's not that. It's not washing over what happened to you. Now, there's a difference between being wronged and being wounded. Wounds are unintentional. And those things, I don't know if you, you can offer forgiveness, but they didn't mean to do that. When you get hurt really bad, those are kind of intentional things, and that's where forgiveness needs to step in and help. Recognizing that we live in a fallen world in an imperfect environment, people are going to hurt you many times unintentionally. Forgiveness needs to be reserved for the big stuff, though, those that really have hurt us. And that's what makes forgiveness so powerful, is when we can say, I forgive you because of what you've done to me this way. So it's wrong to say it's no big deal. You cheapen forgiveness. You need to reserve forgiveness for the serious things. The third thing is it's not resuming a relationship with change, without change. It doesn't mean that you're going, we're buddies now because they did, you know, I know that they did this to me, but now we're going to go back and say we're buddy-buddy. No, that's not necessarily true either. It can be if they're repentant and they really want to make a change. That's a positive thing that can happen out of that relationship. But you still got to let them, they got to prove themselves yet. You got to let them get time in order to get their life in order or whatever that might be. There's a lot of things that need to happen. It doesn't mean that you're going to be reconciled when you forgive somebody. It just means that you're giving up your part of that hurt. You're releasing that and then just letting that other person do whatever they need to do. Reconciliation is possible, but you got to have repentance. You got to have restitution sometimes. And sometimes you got to rebuild that trust. Not sometimes. You have to rebuild that trust in order for that relationship to continue to work. The fourth thing it's not forgetting what happened. It's not forgetting. It's a popular phrase here in America, forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. It's kind of like whatever. I got upset at somebody at church one time. This is a long time ago in another church fellowship, and this person had been kind of bad-mouthing kind of behind the scenes, so I was frustrated. And he was mad because the church was growing. Ultimately, the growth was growing. And so he was frustrated as well because he was losing something, some aspect of his church life as well. But he came up to me after a service one time and he says, you know, you lied about all these numbers of your church. And I just unfortunately let him have a piece of my mind and heart and soul and feet and hands and everything. I was really frustrated to him and I let go on him. I just preached a sermon about if you have a problem with somebody else, you got to go apologize and make amends. So I go, doggone it, I have to go do this. And so I went over to their house, sat there and apologized, and they accepted it. And they apologized back. They said, yeah, we probably shouldn't have said that. It's like, it's water under the bridge, he said. It's water under the bridge. Well, no, like he would, that's not true because he would remember that and bring it up in latter parts. So it's not forgetting what happens to you. But what you're forgetting is you're letting go of that hurt that stays with that memory. It's like a scar, I think. You know, we have scars. I have a scar from surgery that I had in my stomach. I didn't remember the hurt before that. It doesn't hurt anymore, but I remember it. And that's the same way when we offer forgiveness to someone. It's like that. We have a scar of that, and we're reminded of that, but we're able to let that go and forgive that person and let go of that hurt. The last thing that forgiveness is not. It's not my right when I wasn't the one that was hurt. It's not my right when it was the one was hurt. Did I jump one? Good. It's coming up. This, you know, there's people that put pressure on you. You know what your ancestors did? You need to repent of what you're. I go, no, I don't. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. So my ancestors came from Norway. And the Vikings, that's our Minnesota football team, the Vikings, right? We're proud of the Vikings. Vikings were ruthless people. They would go to the village. Their job was to go from village to village and rape and pillage and destroy. That was their values. They celebrated that. They rejoiced in that. They came and had a great big party in that. I can't apologize for them because I wasn't there. I didn't do that. I can say, we don't want to do that now. Why would I? Because I wasn't responsible for that. And there's many other things. You can go back to any time in history, and you will have to apologize over and over and over and over and over again because people have been wicked since the beginning of time, right? It's the same way with forgiveness. You can do a blank, I forgive everybody that's ever done it. Well, they haven't done anything to you. How can you forgive that person? Forgiveness is kind of reserved just for something that's been done to you. So you give up that right and do these blanket forgivenesses so that it's something that's very genuine and real and specific to something that people have done to you. right? That's fake forgiveness. Let's look at what real forgiveness is. Number one, it's remembering, first off, how much I have been forgiven. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You are to forgive others because of Jesus, what Jesus has done for you. It's in response to what he's done for you that you are to forgive. So it's remembering that you are now in Christ, and therefore it's our duty, it's our responsibility. It's actually our response to forgive as he has forgiven me. This is a starting point of forgiveness. If you don't feel forgiven, you don't want to forgive anybody else. If you're hard on yourself, you're going to be hard on others as well. But the more grace that you receive from God, the more gracious you're going to be sharing with others. And the more forgiveness you feel from God, the more forgiving you're going to be towards others. Jesus, there's a story when Jesus was in a house and he was eating with a bunch of religious leaders, and this lady of the night came in. Well, we don't know for sure what her background was, but she had a reputation. And she was weeping and crying, and she sat and lay down at the feet of Jesus and used her tears, and she poured out this perfume on his feet and started, which wasn't unusual back then. It sounds unusual to us if we did that. To you, you're going like, what in the world are you doing? Back then, that was a way of hospitality. But what made it powerful was this person, everybody knew who this person was. And Jesus was allowing her to do this. And she's just weeping. And they said, Jesus, don't you know? She said, I know who she is. And then he uses that as a story. He says, you people, we're all sinners. This person right here, we all sinners. There's a big difference. You don't do anything in response to me being here. But she realizes how bad a sinner she was and how that grace was poured out into her life, and she wants to reflect that to others. She wants to pour that out to somebody else because she knows what was done for her. That's what we need to do in our life, remembering what Jesus has done for us, and it should change our attitudes towards other people. The second thing real grace is, or real forgiveness is, it's relinquishing my right to get even. In Romans 12, verse 19, it says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. We had somebody, we were talking about that. We had a garage sale yesterday at our house. And by the way, helping a lady that her husband passed away within the last year. And he loved to study the Bible. He's got hundreds and hundreds of books. And so I'm trying to get rid of them for her. We had a garage sale, and they're Christian books. They're theology books. Nice theology books. And you know me with my books, just come and visit my garage. I have my book, my garage is filled with my books. So it's like an tempted to grab all of them, put them in, but I'd want to help her sell them. And so we're getting rid of some. So we had some yesterday. And if you're interested in that, we're going to do another sale in a couple weeks. And, lots of great resources there. Anyways, I was talking with a couple, and they were talking about, they found out I was a pastor, and we were talking about things, and she was worried about her brother. She didn't know where her brother was at and if he's going to make it to heaven or not, but all of a sudden he's had some changes in his life. And we just had a really nice conversation about, I'm so glad that we don't make those judgments, that we let God do that. He's the one that can see a person's heart. He knows what true repentance is. He knows what's on a person's mind. He knows what that person's situation was and is, and I'll let him do the judging. We're not to do the judging. We'll let God figure that out in the end. So I relinquish then my right to get even, and I allow God to do that because he's just and fair, and he will do the very thing that he needs to do. And by the way, another great book that was on his shelf, How Christianity Changed the World. It's amazing what Christianity has done to change education, women, all these different, there's piles of things that transform society that we live every day. We don't even think about it. We think about it in a secular society. But there's a book, How Christianity Changed the World. One of the ways it did that was grace. Grace isn't a concept prior to that. You get revenge on somebody that hurt you. You carry out blood vengeance. And it was grace that transformed people's lives. It was grace that transformed my Viking family and turned them into compassionate people. That's how powerful that is. But I relinquish my right to get even, part of my forgiveness. Number three, we respond to evil with good. Responding to evil with good. That's part of real grace or real forgiveness. In Romans 12, verse 19 through 21, it says, on the contrary, he's talking about people being persecuted. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That doesn't sound very comfortable. just adding, it's a figure, it makes him look foolish, not because you want to make him look foolish, it makes all of his attitude towards you look foolish, and maybe he will repent of that. That's what that means. So do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you do that. So we respond to things that have happened to us by doing good. How can you tell that you've released somebody and forgiven them? You pray for them, and you pray that God might bless them. Can you imagine doing that? You pray for them and help them change their life. I had a church stories long time ago. There was a person that was always kind of criticizing, I couldn't do anything right. And so that's frustrating. Frustrating because you're trying to do the best that you can. And it was just tit for tat, little things, you know, that don't mean anything. Well, then I found out that he had lost a son that got killed on his way home from school one day. I found out that he had a great big business and they all went bankrupt and people looked down on him because he used to be very wealthy and lost everything. Then he was accused of abusing his animals because he didn't have feed to feed them. And the list went on and on. And I realized he's hurting. And so if he's hurting inside, it's going to come out with his behavior towards other people. And it really helped me see him with grace. And so what I did, I found things that we had in common to talk about. He loved the Vikings and he loved Gophers. And so when he'd get negative, I'd say, how about those Vikings? Oh, yeah, and then we talk positive. But you look at them in a different way. You respond with evil. You respond to evil by doing good to others. That's how you know that you are in that forgiveness mode. Jesus said, love, this unconditional love, that means it's not something you feel, it's the love that you choose, agape love, keeps no record of wrong. You don't make a list. A husband said, my wife is historical. And somebody said, you mean hysterical? And he goes, historical, she always brings up everything I've done wrong in my past. And we can do that sometimes. We make a list, and then we remember that in our list when we look at certain people and we hold that grudge against them. It's letting that, it's erasing, it's throwing that list away. So it's responding to evil with good. And the last thing is repeating the process as long as possible. That's true forgiveness. I was at a Teens Challenge event, and there, if you've ever been at a Teens Challenge, some of you have attended those, have been a part of that. And some of you have maybe attended because you had a family or friend, and we had one of our members' kids was a part of that 15 years ago. So we went to their graduation, and it was awesome. We were up in the Twin Cities, and boy, if you want to see grace-filled people sing songs, you go up there because they know how far away from God they were and what God has done in their life, and so it just pours out of their heart. It's really a moving service, and they sing just with all the gusto that they have. And there's this older gentleman, he's probably my age now, so I can call him older, came up and he had about 30 people up on stage with him. And they gave a little testimony and he says, I'm just so glad at what Jesus has done for me. And he said this, I says, I've been in 35 different programs. I just went, what? 35. And I thought, you know, sometimes it's hard for families to look and say, here you go again, you know, how long is it going to be? But there was 30 people there. They believed in him. They had faith in him that this time he was going to do it. I just thought it was a remarkable story. So how many times do you forgive over and over again? Jesus said this in Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Peter came up to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7, but 77 times. Now, numbers used in the Bible sometimes are literal, but most of the time they mean something else. 70 times 7 is a big number, means infinite times. There's no limit to it. It's not just whatever 7 times, 49 times that you do that. But it's unlimited that you forgive somebody else. In Jewish law, you were allowed to forgive somebody up to 3 times. And so even Peter was pushing, how about 7 times? We're going to be really spiritual here. We're going to forgive 7. And Jesus goes, no, I want you to forgive 7 times 7. I want you to continue to forgive. And I can hear him saying in his head, because that's what I do to you. You need me to forgive you every day. You need me to step up and forgive you. And that's how I want you to forgive other people as well. Until you let it go. You keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Now, that's hard to do sometimes, and there's different ways that you can do that. Sometimes they have people, I've seen counselors set up a chair, and maybe somebody's really hurt a person really bad, and you can't make amends. They might be gone. They might be dead. And they set up a chair, and then they have them speak to that chair just to kind of get things off their chest. Sometimes they have a person write a letter with everything that they feel, and then they offer forgiveness, and sometimes they just throw that letter away. There's just different ways that we can release that. Genuine forgiveness is never, never easy. And I have no doubt that in a crowd our size, there's people that really struggle with that because of some of the things that have happened in your own life. But when you think about that person, that betrayal, that rejection, it can be really, really fresh. Even today, it can be fresh as the air is outside today, and it still hurts. Now, how are you going to get through life? Well, Jesus will help you. It's part of the power of God's Spirit coming to dwell within us. That same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is given to us to help us deal with life and to help us forgive. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's for our benefit. We don't want to live life with bitterness all of our lives. It's one of the ways that we can release that bitterness and let God deal with it. And then we can go on and live. God's grace transforms lives. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. And yet he offers it to all of us. This grace should transform our lives and how we see other people as well. Note what Paul says about how we should be transformed here. The Apostle Paul wrote this to Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, holy people, separate, distinct people, since God chose you to be a distinct people, different than the world around you, you must clothe yourself with a tender heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's a command. Again, it's one of the hardest commands to fulfill in the Bible, but Jesus will help you do that. And notice the change that takes place. Tender-hearted, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's the Holy Spirit working on our heart, turning us, becoming more and more like Jesus inside of us. That's the kind of demeanor that we are to have. Doesn't mean that you can't have energy. Doesn't mean that you are assertive in the things that you say in order to make sure people understand what you're saying. But it does say that you change your personality a little bit so that you're kind and gentle. And then you were able to release that. You're able to forgive other people. And I like this. This is the New Living Translation part of it. It says, make allowances for others' faults. Make an allowance for each other's faults. That means store in your brain that you know that people might step on you accidentally, sometimes accidentally and sometimes on purpose. But you make allowance. Why? Because we are fallen people. We are not perfect people. And because of that, and you're not a perfect person, and therefore we can give grace because of the grace given to us. You don't want that bitterness to be in your life all your life. You want God to take that away so that you can have the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. And that all comes from forgiveness. Who do you need to forgive? Who's hurt you deeply? And you still hold on to that regret or that bitterness. Let Jesus take that away. Let Jesus help you and soften your heart so that you can forgive as you have been forgiven. Philippians 4, verse 23 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us. Help us forgive others, because if we've been forgiven ourselves and we're so grateful for that, it's transformed our lives, it's changed our lives, and now we want to offer that grace to others. And so I pray, and I know people have been through really, really tough backgrounds too, Lord, and they're going to really need your extra special help to deal with those losses and those hurts in their life. And I know that you can do so, Lord, because I read it in the Bible. I think of what Joseph went through in the Old Testament, of brothers trying to kill him and then sell him into slavery and people lying about him and putting him in prison, and yet he had this positive attitude because he knew who you were and who he was. And I pray that we can have that same sense inside of us that your Holy Spirit gives to us when he fills us full of your life and your love. And I pray for those that really struggle with that so that they can get to that point where they can forgive and be free of that hurt. Lord, help us be kind, compassionate people, that we were known for our love, not for what we're against, but for our love and how we treat other people. Why? Because that's how you treat us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.